Translation. Thereupon, for sexual pleasure, begetting offspring and tasting heavenly nectar, the Lord developed the genitals. And thus there is the genital organ and its controlling deity, the Prajapati. The object of sexual pleasure and the controlling deity are under the control of the genitals of the Lord. So purport by Srila Prabhupada. The heavenly pleasure for the conditioned soul is sexual pleasure, and this pleasure is tasted by the genitals. The woman is the object of sexual pleasure, and both the sense perception of sexual pleasure and the woman are controlled by the Prajapati, who is under the control of the Lord's genitals. The impersonalist must know from this verse that the Lord is not impersonal, for he has genitals, on which all the pleasurable objects of sex depend. No one would have taken the trouble to maintain children if there were no taste of heavenly nectar by means of sexual intercourse. This material world is created to give the conditioned souls a chance for rejuvenation, for going back home, back to Godhead. And therefore, generation of the living being is necessary for upkeep of the purpose of creation. Sexual pleasure is an impetus for such action, and as such, one can even serve the Lord in the act of sexual pleasure. The service is counted when the children born of such sexual pleasure are properly trained in God consciousness. The whole idea of material creation is to revive the dormant God consciousness of the living entity in forms of life other than the human form. Sexual pleasure is prominent without any motive of service for the mission of the Lord. But in the human form of life, the conditioned soul can render service to the Lord by creating progeny suitable for the attainment of salvation. One can beget hundreds of children and enjoy the celestial pleasure of sexual intercourse, provided he is able to train the children in God consciousness. Otherwise, begetting children is on the level of the swine. Rather, the swine is more expert than the human being, because the swine can beget a dozen piglets at a time, whereas the human being can give birth to only one at a time. So one should always remember that the genitals, sexual pleasure, the woman, and the offspring are all related in the service of the Lord. And one who forgets this relationship in the service of the Supreme Lord becomes subjected to the threefold miseries of material existence by the laws of nature. Perception of sexual pleasure is there even in the body of the dog. There's no sense of God consciousness. The human form of life is distinct from that of the dog by the perception of God consciousness. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you for calling me back to speak. This topic requires more than 30 minutes talk. It's a deep topic. It goes into many different branches. But the main point Prabhupada is mentioning here from the purport is that this material world is designed for us to reach, to have salvation. It's a reformatory place. It's a prison house. And once my spiritual master, His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami, we were with him in a house, and then he said, come upstairs, I want to talk to you. So three of us went upstairs, and he sat us down, and he started to explain the nature of the material world, that this is a prison. It's a prison house. And he said, you don't see chains. In prison, you see people chained up. You know, but you don't see the chains because the chains are invisible. But the chain is sex desire, basically. It's basically, that's how we are entangled in the material world. That's how we are bounded in the material world, and that's how we take repeated birth and death all the time. And therefore, one So he was promoting celibacy and explaining the importance of being celibate, and that's the way. Obviously, you have to be Krishna conscious, you have to purify your senses, but that is the way to be released from the material world. So if you're in a prison, there's certain rules and regulations and you're bounded. Thank you, Hare Krishna. And therefore, this chain is sex desire between a man and a woman, and obviously different ways, variations of that, but it's basically that's how you get bounded. So Prabhupada is saying how to purify that is by having children. Generally, in every major religion of the world, they advocate marriage, and then by having marriage, you take responsibility, and then you have children. And therefore, one can have many, many children, provided they know how to train that child on how to be God-conscious. That's very important. So that's the responsibility of a parent. So if a parent has a child, the parent obviously needs to take care of the material needs of the child, but the spiritual needs is also equally as important, if not more. And that means how to give knowledge to that child to release that child from being bounded in the material world. But where is sex coming from? It's spiritual. It's called adiras. It's from the spiritual world. It is the pleasure, potency, the connection between Srimati Radharani and Krishna and the gopis and Krishna and Lakshmi Narayan and Sitaram. This is what is called the adiras. But in the material world, it becomes perverted, a perverted reflection. And how do we get pleasure? We get pleasure by uniting Srimati Radharani and Krishna, the feminine and the masculine. We get pleasure. So therefore, when we chant Hare Krishna, we're actually bringing Radha and Krishna to us. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, Prabhupada says, Krishna and Radharani, they're dancing on your tongue. So that's how we get pleasure. But if we want to feel that, why Krishna and Radha get pleasure, why don't I just get pleasure, then it's like Ravana taking Sita. If you know about the Ramayana, Ravana kidnapped Sita because he wanted to enjoy the pleasure potency of the Lord. He wanted to enjoy separately. And therefore, we know what happened to him. So, it causes so many problems. I'm talking to a bunch of brahmacharis here, so it's going to be difficult. But there's people online too. I've been listening to classes by Mother Urmila about this because she's given a nice class about it. It's online. You can watch it yourself. But she asked the audience, who's more attracted, the man attracted to the woman or the woman attracted to the man? And then she concluded it was the man who's more attracted to the woman. Physically, the man is definitely more attracted to the woman than the woman is attracted to the man. The women are attracted, but they're more attracted to the personality or the power or the position or what that man can provide. But the man is definitely attracted to the physical features. So she said, from a distance, so there's a woman, the man goes head over heels, he just gets so attracted by the form. So when you read this purport, it's referring mainly to men. Prabhupada is writing in that way. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. It's generally the male has the problem with this, the physical aspect. And therefore, out of the four regulative principles for man, the illicit sex rule is the toughest to follow, generally. For the woman, it's not that aspect. It's different aspects. Her maya is different compared to the man's maya. So how do we get purified from this? Because it's a potency. It's creative energy. Sexual energy is real. It's a creative energy, and it has to be channeled. And if it's not channeled in the right way, you get three types of symptoms that happen. You get anger. If somebody's always angry all the time or irritated all the time, it could be because of sexual repression. That's one aspect. The other aspect, someone acts like a dead stone. They don't want to reveal any emotions and they just hide and keep it in all the time. That's another form of repression. They think that spirituality means hiding your emotions, keeping it internally and not expressing yourself. And the other one is fall down. When you can't, when it builds up to such an extent that you just naturally fall down. So how do we channel all these things? And the best way to channel it is to make Srimati Radharani be with Krishna. Put all your emotions and your love in your devotional service, in your chanting, in your reading, in your hearing, in your service, get involved in the preaching mission. This is how we channel it. Some devotees, they write. They write, so they express their, you know, they use their creative ability to write. Some people teach. Some people do art. Some people do drama. Some people are doing so many expressive things, and that channels that creative energy. Because if you don't channel it, it becomes suppressed and it will come out as a fall down. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So therefore, one has to always engage their mind in Krishna consciousness. It's very easy for me to say this on the Vyasasan, but it's not easy to do. We all know it's not easy to do. There's so much allurements in the material world that is so difficult to focus. You know, when they say weapons of mass destructions, but in Kali Yuga, it's weapons of mass distraction. I spoke to Shyam Sundar Prabhu, the original Shyam Sundar Prabhu, 1967 Prabhupada disciple. Many years ago, he told me it's harder to be Krishna conscious now than it was in the 70s. He told me that. It's harder to be Krishna conscious now in 2023 or 2020s compared to when you joined in the 1970s when Prabhupada was around. Definitely harder. Why? Because there's so much Maya now. It's so easy. So easy. You just have a mobile phone, you can be in Maya all day long. So much distraction, so many things are happening in the world, so many changes that, you know, it's just so difficult to focus. But therefore, one has to have the association of the devotees. You have to have the association of the devotees. If you don't have the association of devotees, guaranteed you will leave. Recently, there is a devotee, I'm not going to mention his name. He was a devotee 25 years ago, and now obviously he left, went and did his own thing, and then he committed suicide. Some of you know who I'm talking about. So it's very sad why that has happened. Extremely sad. But that can happen to any one of us. If we leave the association of devotees and we're not practicing the process, and then we are stuck in the material world and it's full of all these allurements and dangers, you can go mad. And that will be a culmination of madness when you want to give up. I've also had suicidal tendencies once or twice in my life. But I never did it. But you obviously, the material world can be such a painful place that it can drive you crazy. And then you go into, you forget your intelligence or whatever you've been taught in your life. So that's why you must have the association of the devotees. Find that devotee. Find, even if it's one devotee, find that person who's more advanced than you that can pick you up, that can help you, that can answer any questions if you have any difficulties. It's so important for one's mental health and spiritual health that you have the association of devotees. And come here. There's many devotees. I'm talking like now people are watching me online. Many devotees who are lonely. They don't have association. They could be in this crowd. There could be 500 people here today or tomorrow. And they feel alone. So it's so important that friendship is there. So important. Because friendship helps to heal oneself. So I'm going to speak about a few personalities. One in particular is Bilva Mangal Thakur. Prabhupada talks about him. He wrote a book, poetry, Krishna Karanamrita, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found in South India and was hearing constantly. So it's a very special book, Krishna Karanamrita. So it's a very interesting life he had. He's a South Indian Brahmin, born in a Brahmin family, and he was very, very wealthy family. But he was very attracted to a prostitute called Chintamani. Very attracted. That he would go to her and enjoy with her. And then one day his father passed away, and obviously when you do funeral rites, it takes a few days. And he was eager for the funeral to be finished so he could run towards Chintamani. He wanted to, you know, be with her. So he was thinking of her all the time, mesmerized, while the father's funeral rites were happening. So eventually he said, okay, I'm going to take the food. He had opulent food. After the funeral, he had opulent food. And he said, look, I am going to go and I'm going to see her. And there was a massive storm, and the river banks were overflooded, and he had to cross the river in order to get to the other side. But he was so determined. You know, Bob Marley says, no woman, no cry. Have you heard that one? So men can go so mad, can go so crazy after a woman. I'm just going to bring in a story. There was a doctor who went into a mental asylum, and he was just, you know, learning his trade, and he saw this man in a prison cell, and he was going, Maria, 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 like that, you know. And then a doctor said to the other doctor, he said, what's wrong with him? Oh, he had a relationship with a woman called Maria, a very beautiful woman, but she left him, and now he's just gone crazy. And he's just in this mental asylum, and he can't pick himself up. He's depressed, and he's going mad. So the doctor said, okay, what can we do? So then he went further, and then he saw another man in another cell. And he's going even more crazy. He's going, Maria, 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 Maria. And he's going crazy, and he's fainting, and he's getting up, and he's crying. And then the doctor says to the consultant, what happened to this one? And he goes, he's the one who married Maria. So men can go so crazy, they can bend over backwards just to please and satisfy a woman, okay? They can go so... How did Cleopatra control Julius Caesar? Just by her eyelids, right? And when Prabhupada was in 1976, he was in New York, Rath Yatra, the famous Rath Yatra, the first one in New York. He was just analyzing the whole of Manhattan, and he was saying, this is all Mahamaya. This is all created because of a woman, because of women. You know, the men work so hard to establish all these beautiful big buildings and just to please. So there's that aspect of creation, right? And so he was going crazy. So he went to the riverbank, and he saw it was overflowed, flooded, and the boats already, there was no boats around. So he said, I'm just going to go across the river. I have to see Chintamani. I must see her today, tonight. I must see her. And so he crossed the river, but while crossing the river, he thought he was holding on to a piece of log, but actually he was holding on to a dead corpse. He only realized it when he got to the other side of the river and he saw the body. It was a dead corpse. So he was just, you know, because you go so mad with lust that you don't care about what's happening. And so he got to the other side, and then he went to the house. And the door was locked because Chintamani was thinking, there's no way, because it was planned that he was going to be there and she was expecting him. But then she thought, because of the storm, there's no way he's going to come. He's not going to come tonight. He won't come. So she locked the doors. So he had to climb over the wall. And so he thought he was climbing on a rope, but it was a python. So he grabbed onto the python and then he climbed over the wall and he went inside the chambers of Chintamani. He just burst in, fell into the chambers, and she was so shocked. That how did you just come at the dead of night? It's raining, it's storms. How did you do this? And then he explained the story. He had to cross the river, dead corpse. Then he climbed, and it was a snake. And she goes, if you had, you're attracted to this body, which is made of pus, blood, urine, skin. You're attracted to me, but if you had the same attraction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, you become a pure devotee. That same attraction that you intentionally have for me, if you had it for Krishna, you become pure. At that moment, there was a major realization that went into his heart. That's very important. When you find that you're here today, there must have been a point where somebody said something or you felt something and you go, oh, this feels right. This feels real. This feels the path that I need to follow in order to progress in life. So what happened was, there's two sides of this story, but I'm going to state the one that I've heard, or I accept, is that he was initiated in his previous life. He had a guru, but obviously he didn't make it. He didn't go back to the spiritual world. So the guru empowered Chintamani to say these words. And that's what can happen. One can have a spiritual master, a teacher, a guide, and when that teacher goes back to the spiritual world and we're stuck in the material world and we don't make it, we have to take another birth, then that guru, that teacher who loves us so much, can empower another soul to guide us or to say something that can just switch the heart and go, okay, let me just go back to what I'm supposed to be doing. So at that moment, he just walked. He said, that's it. I'm going to take the path of renunciation. You're right. He left her and he just went. And he got initiated. He got initiated or sannyas. And then he went towards Vrindavan. But while he was traveling towards Vrindavan, and this is what can happen. We may be so determined to follow, but then you get tested again and again and again. It always happens. Always happens. Or the mind gives you another problem, or Maya comes dangling something in front of you. So what happened was he saw a beautiful woman. Because he was attracted to women. So he saw a beautiful woman and he wanted water. So she was at the well and she was taking water up, and then she, you know, gave him water and he drank it. Then he started to stalk her. Like follow her to her house. That's where it comes from, stalking. So, you know, he followed her to her house. And then he knocked on the door. The woman knew he was following her. And then she told her husband, look, he's following me. So the husband came out and he said, oh, you look like an aristocratic man, you know. And he said, what would you like? He said, I just want to be alone with your wife. Now, obviously, you can't do that these days. But in those days, you know, Vedic culture, the husband was saying, okay, you can, you know, don't ask me how it's happening. But he said, okay, you can do that. So he was alone with her, and he said to her, take out your hairpins from your hair, because her hair was tied. So she let her hair down, and obviously the most beautiful feature of a woman or anyone is the hair. And he looked at it, and then he took the hairpins, and he just pierced his eyes. He made himself blind. And the reason he did that, he said, look, my eyes are my enemies. My eyes are taking me away from my goal of being Krishna conscious. Obviously, we don't advocate doing that. But he surrendered in such a way that he purposely made himself blind and surrendered because he was so disgusted that he was so attracted and he was being allured away from Krishna. Consequently, he traveled to Vrindavan, and when he got to Vrindavan, this young cowherd boy came to him, and this young cowherd boy would give him milk and look after him and hold his hand and walk with him. And one day the cowherd boy let go of the hand. And then he said to the cowherd boy, you may be able to let go of my hand or I'm let go of your hand, but your lotus feet is within my heart. Because he knew that cowherd boy was Krishna. So Krishna was with him all the time. He lived, according to Srila Prabhupada, he lived in Vrindavan for 700 years. This was probably at different times for 700 years. And therefore he wrote that poetic, or he recited this poetry, which was written down, Krishna Karnamrita. So we do experience it. We do experience fall downs, or we experience that when we're going on the path of bhakti, we go through stumbling blocks. You know? We do experience it. But just like if you're a boxer and you're in a ring and you're fighting and you get knocked down, and the greatest boxers are those who get up, who don't stay down. if you notice, the greatest boxers are the ones who try their best to get up for the fight. So when we do experience such a situation, the winning mentality is to get up and continue the path, not to give up the path. Because many people, what they do is, they say it's too insurmountable. I can't do it. I can't. It's just too difficult. Krishna consciousness is too difficult. The four regulative principles make me crazy. You know, I can't do it anymore. And then they give up and they find something else which they can do. But listen, let me tell you, from 30 odd years of experience, you can do it. You can do it. Yeah, I've gone through my ups, my downs, and even now I go through my ups and downs, but it can be done. You can follow the path, because Krishna is looking for the determination more than anything, the love. You know, he's looking for that endeavor. Do you really love me? It's a song by Boy George. Yeah, yeah. Anyway. Do you really love me? Right? That's what Krishna is looking for. He knows that, you know, many of us are full of faults and we've got many anarthas and we've got issues in our life. He knows that. You know, we're in Kali Yuga, for God's sake. That's why we're born in Kali Yuga. We're not Nitya Siddhas. It's only rare to be a Nitya Siddha, like Srila Prabhupada. So he knows. A Nitya Siddha means one who's eternally liberated from the spiritual world, who comes to the material world to preach, or to give his association or her association. So most of us, we know, we've been from birth, death, lifetime after lifetime, habituated with activities which are negative. So it's not easy, like you come into Krishna consciousness and then you go, or you're told to avoid certain things. It's not easy. So therefore, I spoke to Gopal Krishna Maharaj in 1996. I spoke to him once about chanting. How do we, you know, keep up the chanting, and how do we deal with our mind? And he said to me, he said, if you give up something negative, you must feed your mind with something positive. It's no good me saying no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating. You know, that's not going to help you. You have to feed yourself with the positive aspect. That means you have to do the devotional aspect, the bhakti yoga aspect. You must engage your senses, your mind, intelligence, your senses in the service of the Supreme Lord. That's the positive aspect. And by developing more love for Krishna, you get less attraction to the material world. That's the solution. Not to be a dead stone and say, I have no emotions, no desires. Acknowledge the desires, acknowledge the emotions, but acknowledge this, that we're the servant of Krishna and we're meant to love him. And the more we get to love him, the more we engage in that service to love him, the less we will be attracted. You know, I did an experiment once with some students. I told them to eat and let me see how it goes. I told them to eat an apple, a sweet apple, so they ate the apple. Then I gave them an Indian mango. Then I told them to go back to the apple. And then they went back to the apple and it doesn't taste so nice. So that's what Krishna consciousness is like. We get attracted to the material world, but when you actually engage in devotional service and when you experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness, which is when you first start, you do experience a taste of that, and then it takes longer to get it back again. But you experience this bliss, and that bliss surpasses any material experience, guaranteed. You can ask many senior devotees, they'll tell you that. How are they still practicing after 30, 40, 50 years? It's because the taste surpasses any material experience. The taste of Mahaprasad or Prasadam, the taste of Kirtan, the taste of reading or understanding the scriptures. There's so much taste in spirituality that is real because it's connected. It is Krishna himself. I don't like to talk so long, so I'm going to close it, but I'm not going to take questions. I don't do that too. Well, I can do it in private. But one thing I do recommend, which will really help if people are struggling in the material world, is to go out on Harinam, Harinam Sankirtan. Because we do japa, right? You get your bead bags and you start chanting Hare Krishna, right? But there's a difference between that and going out on the street. When I first joined, this was way back, there was a youth retreat and I was upstairs in the room and I was getting freaked out because they were telling me you're going to go on the street today. I was going, there's no way I'm going on the street. I was 17 years old, 1993. I was on this, and then they said, no, this is Hare Krishna. We're going to go on the street. Okay, forget that. So I'm sitting there, and Shivram Raj walks in, and he gives a debate about atheism and creation theory and all that, not theory, fact, but creationism. And then they say, oh, yeah, we're going to go out on the Harinam. Shivram Raj is going to go out with us. And I was praying to Krishna, please, not today. I'm not going. Please, I beg you, don't send me out on the street. I can't do it. Because your false ego, you know. If you don't have so much strength, faith or strength, you may go, oh, I can't do it. I can't just be seen on the street chanting Hare Krishna. So luckily, it didn't happen. I was so grateful, I tell you. My prayers were answered. I was so happy. Whew. All right, So then there was a manna campaign. They were trying to save the temple, so they did public protest marches. So then, you know, when there's 5,000 people on the street, it's easier to do a Harinam. So I was on the street in Wembley, and I thought, this was all right. This is nice. This is 5,000 of us. So it's a different mood. But what really helped me was a personality called Tribhuvanath Prabhu. Now, many of you don't know who he is. But those who come from the 70s, 80s, and 90s will definitely know who he is. He's basically a Srila Prabhupada disciple. He's from Ireland. He joined in 1969. He told me the day he joined the day Radha Landanishwara was installed. He came, but he just missed Prabhupada. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Jai Sri Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Jai Sri Sri Gaur Nithai ki jai. And so, he used to do Hare Krishna festivals. It's still going on today, but he would go and he would do festivals in different parts of the UK and Edinburgh, Scotland, and in Africa. And it was amazing. He did a festival in Edinburgh once. Prabhupada came to it because, and the reason when he went to Edinburgh is because Prabhupada's teachers were from Scottish Churches College in Calcutta. They were from Scotland. So Prabhupada explained that, and Tribhuvanath Prabhu heard it, and he goes, okay, I'm going to go to Scotland and spread Krishna consciousness there and invite Prabhupada to come. So he had this huge Hare Krishna festival in Edinburgh, and Prabhupada came to it, and Prabhupada was so pleased and happy, and he grabbed his head. Prabhupada grabbed his head and blessed him. And he said, now you take these festivals and go all over Scotland. So Tribhuvanath Prabhu is a very charismatic, pure soul. And if you ever saw him, you'd never forget him. That's the type of person. You could walk in this room and be so radiant with his smile. And his kirtans were on another level. And so, yeah, he's on YouTube. You can check him out. And he was doing Harinams because there was a festival in Camden Town Hall in London, Camden. And so he was doing Harinams, like he was going on the street, chanting, giving out flyers for people to come. So then I was forced to go out on that Harinam. But when I went out with him, that's when all my anxieties and stress and worries got deflated. Because when you go out with him, you feel like you're in a bubble. You're protected because he's chanting on a pure level. So Krishna is there, he's present. To the degree someone is pure, to that degree Krishna will be present. And so I felt completely alleviated from all my troubles and worries. And he converted me to Harinam by his grace. Otherwise, I would never do it. I would never have done it. And so I got attracted to it. So if you ever go out on a Harinam, my suggestion, if you want to do a first Harinam, go to central London. Govinda Prabhu will be there. Go to central London, Soho Street, Tottenham Court Road, Oxford Street, Soho Street, 7:30 p.m. every Saturday. There's always a Harinam. And that would be the best way to be introduced to a Harinam if you're skeptical or you feel apprehensive, because when you go out on the Harinam in central London on a Saturday night, everyone is happy to see you. When we go out on a Harinam, everyone, 99% of everyone, is in a nice festive mood in central London on a Saturday night. And they all like smile. I see a lot of people smiling, people clapping, people dancing, and people even, you know, get involved. And some people follow us back to the temple. And it's just a great way to just deal with the anatta nivritti, the baggage that we have. You know, we have baggages in the mind and the consciousness. When you go out on a Harinam, I feel cleansed. I really do. I feel like it's like you do your japa and you feel some type of purity. But when you go on a Harinam with devotees and you're chanting loudly, you feel an intense purification. And that keeps you going. I used to do kirtan yoga sessions in a yoga studio in 2009 to 2013. And these were ordinary guys and girls. They weren't devotees, but they would just come. And they would chant Hare Krishna with us for like at least an hour and a half. And they said, look, we need this because, you know, this keeps us going for the week just by chanting. It keeps us going, strength mentally for the whole week. So there's some power to this Hare Krishna. I can't explain it fully. So please, if you're watching online and if you're, I'm blinking because there's somebody I know and I said I'll blink to acknowledge your presence. He's from Crawley. So, if you're watching online or if you're here with me and you haven't experienced the Harinam or you used to do it and you don't do it anymore or you're struggling or you feel that, look, I need an upliftment, the quickest way to get it is going out on the Harinam. You can do a kirtan in the temple room, but it's not the same as going out on the streets. You get more mercy by Lord Chaitanya's power if you go on the street. If God himself did it, and that's how he spread the holy names, then who are we to say it's not worth doing? It is the most important activity. And it's the most beneficial and pleasing activity. And I guarantee you one thing. You'll get more and more people flooding towards the movement if you go out on the streets. What I've noticed since the 90s, I mean, I didn't join in the 70s, but in the 70s, it was a given. Everyone would go on the street. The pujari would be the only one in the temple room, and everyone would be outside chanting Hare Krishna. That is Prabhupada's standard, whether you like it or not. That is Srila Prabhupada's standard. Everyone on the street. When I was with Bhaktivikasa Maharaj once, he gave an initiation in the 90s, and we went on a Harinam. After the Harinam, we went on Oxford Street. And he said, this is what the devotees should be doing. That's what Tribhuvanath Prabhu did. 8 hours a day, he was on the street doing a Harinam with the devotees. That's how the movement started to create awareness. And then he would tell me that at night, when everyone is sleeping, he would watch, everyone is sleeping, all the devotees are sleeping. They were just chanting in their sleep. Can you imagine that? They were chanting. He could hear the holy name while they're sleeping. They were just, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah. They were chanting. They were so mesmerized by the holy name that they were chanting. So that is the difference between now and in the 90s when I came. In the 90s, it was like, let's go on the street. That's how you get your training. You know, don't be comfortable in the temple room and do your bhajan and kirtan or at home. Go out on the street and then you see the real miracle of the holy name. You see people transformed. You see people, ordinary people go, oh my God, this is amazing. This is amazing. They feel connected. You know, you can go out on the street and chant Coca-Cola, you won't get any connection. But when you chant Hare Krishna, you actually see people feel happiness, pleasure, connection. So if there's any message that you get today, apart from what the purport is saying, is please try it. It works. Just go out on the street. Whenever you can, just try it. You know, Govinda Prabhu, you're going to go be there this Saturday. Oh, he's going to Glastonbury. That's another thing. You've heard of Glastonbury, one of the biggest music festivals in the whole world, most famous, one of the most famous. And Tribhuvanath Prabhu was a pioneer in preaching at Glastonbury. He would go there, set up a big tent, and just do kirtan all night long. And people would just walk into that kirtan tent and just rock and roll with kirtan all night. And I've seen it, not in Glastonbury, I saw it in the Virgin Festival in Essex. And he did one for 3-4 hours. And I said, that's amazing, you know, he did a 3 or 4 hour non-stop kirtan, fast kirtan. And he said, oh, that's just a baby kirtan, you know. Because when you go to Glastonbury, we do it for hours, all nighter. So then you see all these young women and men coming and dancing and then taking prasadam. So you're going to that festival. Are you going to Saturday night, Harina? You'll be there. So Rubin Prabhu will be there. So if you want someone to be with, he'll be there. When he chants Hare Krishna, it's very, you know, oh, come on, Prabhu. It's really nice. So, and Govinda Prabhu, and when they chant, they're senior devotees, when they chant Hare Krishna, we feel protected and reassured. So please try it. Really do it. If you want a boost in your spiritual life, go out on the Harinam. Don't be comfortable. It's very easy to be comfortable. Very easy to take the slow path and just feel like, oh, I'll just do my bhakti privately. The whole mood of the acharyas, if you look up there, is to publicly give the holy name, to publicly give Prabhupada's books out. The whole point of why we're reading, why we're studying, is to chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada spent so much time to write in order to convince the living entity to chant Hare Krishna. That's the essence of the movement. And once you got the holy name, you're supposed to give it. And people are suffering like anything nowadays. You can see, people are really miserable. I was on the train and they were just so sad. You know, so sad. People just so upset. And depression is the biggest crisis in the mental health world. And the solution is to connect them with Krishna. Now, if you're following a different religion, connect them to God's name. That's fine. We're not saying we're the only ones who can have monopoly over it. There's so many bona fide religions, and the essence is to love God and to know Him and to connect by chanting and glorifying Him. And I chose this path, and I love it, and I hope you just go out on a Harinam and give out to... Because I hope the next generation, I hope they understand that mood. Otherwise, the future generations may just do the bhakti in the temple room, and then it would just be a secluded movement. And that's not what Prabhupada wanted. I leave it with that. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.